Sokala Duma Radio.
Staying in touch is a long-standing feature of the Sokala Duma newspaper, where the newspaper sub-editor Lunga Adam catches up with former Mzansi football players from the days gone by. So we've decided to extend the fun and bring to life some of those epic conversations in this radio format for you. What you're about to hear does not at all at any stage feature the player. This is an audio version of the interview between the journalist and the presenter, taken from the conversation between the journalist and the player. The player does not at all feature in this episode.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Locally Slacker, welcome back to part two of our conversation. Let's start off by talking about the journeys that you guys at Orlando Pirates made, you know, across Africa.
Yeah, I mean, we traveled a lot, Pralungs, in the continent during my time at Pirates. As we were trying to defend the CAF Champions League, we played in the CAF Super Cup. We also went to China to participate in what is now known as the Club World Cup, you know. Sure. We were there, we participated in those competitions. We played the first leg at home, and we went there for the second leg, where our opponents proved hard to break down. They punished us, in fact, 5-1. It was so embarrassing because the match was televised back in South Africa. They were running rings on us. You know how it is with these Chinese players. They looked so alike, you would have sworn that it was completely a new team in the second half.
Yes.
It was a learning experience for us.
Yeah. I'm sure it was a survival of the fittest and the strongest.
Yeah, I mean, if Lungs, you know, I watch South African teams now playing in the CAF Champions League. You know, there are guys like Sundowns, they are doing well, but most of them sometimes don't go really far. If you're not strong mentally and physically, you will never survive in Africa, my man.
Yeah.
The treatment we got right after landing at the airport up until we made our way to the hotel was less than expected. But the guys who had previously played in the competition told us to forget about those things because it was just mind games. Can you imagine? We leave South Africa on Tuesday morning. We arrive that side in the evening. When we get there, we are made to travel 5 hours in a small bus without any windows on a graveled road. You are tired because of all the traveling. You catch a connecting flight here or there. Then they make you train on a gravel pitch. Yet we are going to play on grass surface. Even the food was terrible, Pralungs. You know, we used to travel with our own water and cold drinks. Some people don't even believe it, you know. And sometimes we even travel with our own chefs at the hotel. They would send prostitutes 2 days before the game to come and knock at our doors, you know. Their aim was to just make you misbehave so that you can run out of stamina during the game, you
obviously
know.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we were not wired in that way. And those ladies of the night, they never really got any of our attention. They were very crafty, though, because they would make you block the hole in the door with their finger so that whenever they come knocking, you know, you couldn't tell who was knocking. You know, at the slightest opening of the door, the lady would proceed to throw herself onto your bed. Honey, I'm home. You know, those kind of situations. Yeah. At this point, only security could help us.
Okay, any funny story then from Pax?
There are so many. At Pirates, you know, I remember one time in 1994, we were camping, preparing to play against the Kaizer Chiefs. Umgababa, my friend, Gerald Rapatlela, he went into the swimming pool. So the one side of that swimming pool was not that deep. It was probably for kids, whilst the other one was deeper. So he went diving at great speed, you know, to the kids' pool. In the process, he hurt his forehead, you know.
Ouch.
You know, so there's 2 years and she said, "Oh, I'm going to go to the hotel." So she's going to go to the hotel. You know, but fortunately, recovered. We called for medical assistance and he managed to play, but he's a very strong man.
Yes.
You know, but the problem is that Ibenga was in Shukbuwut and he didn't know how to swim, you know. The first time I saw teammates fighting was at Pirates, you know. We were going to play away. It happened at the airport, you know. The sparring session was between heavyweight champion Piritsotetsi and another heavyweight contender, Yamazi. Stability to Gavin Lane, you know. They used to tell each other, you know, I'm an adanje all the time, you know. And I don't know what happened that time. We were worried about how they were going to communicate on the field, having just had a fight. But fortunately, they handled matters in a professional way.
Yeah.
After 30 minutes, they were friends again.
Great stuff. After Pirates, you then went to join Warrior Stars.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the Pirates, I didn't get a lot of game time after Gordon Eggerson came in. On that first day, he addressed us. He said he didn't want to see you, Steve Legolea and myself together. And this came as a surprise to everyone in the team. I asked to be loaned out to Warrior Stars because Uchiko Twala used to come to my flat saying that he needed me in his team as I was not playing at the Pirates. So Petersburg and Mahwele Reng are not that far from each other. You know, I stayed in Polokwane because we trained in the morning. And in the afternoon, I would drive back home on weekends because we were not playing sometimes. You know, I enjoyed myself at the club. We had Ukenin Dlazi as the coach. And before him, we have Umalombo Lechaba and Jacob Sakala. Umalombo knew that footballers like women and drinking. So whenever we went to training on Tuesday, he would make us run like hell and tell us, I want to take out those beers from your system, Machana. I want to take out whatever you were doing with women. We really enjoyed ourselves, though. I don't want to lie. The late Thabang Lebese was there. Frank Makua, if you can still remember, was there. Abraham Kwenenyan was there. Ulakilikwati became a legend at Paris. He was also there. Urol Netobejane, who later played for Chiefs, was there with guys like Obotem Wigosi Biela.
That was a great team, eh?
Yeah.
There must have been characters, though, among that group.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you can remember, Umchita, Bagambiza, Sam Pem.
Oh, yes.
You know, he used to call us over to his place so that we could pray together. But come weekend after the game, the man would be as intoxicated as Usbego from Mzimbezo. He could easily That's down crazy. 48 beers on his own. No one ever noticed it when he was in that state, except for when we needed to go out and he would stagger, you know, he's struggling to get to the destination. You could hardly notice it from his facial expression, ukuthi umuntu dakiwe nje, you know. And amajita bengabelieve ukuthi bekuwumuntu, the same one bekathandaza nathi in his place. Yeah, you know, the naughty one, Bralungs, was Ulibisi. I remember one time we were playing the African Wanderers at Peter Mokaba Stadium.
Okay.
You know, they took him out at halftime. I'm sure that didn't go down well with him. And then he wanted to travel back to Joburg. Him and Frank Makua and Ubiela, they would travel together to Joburg. So they changed him, and then he went to the change room and took a shower. And the Wanderers, they shy a lapo, 2-1.
Yeah.
Whilst he was busy showering, we scored 2 goals. You know, and the score, 2 quick goals, and the score is 3-2. When he was done, he stood in the tunnel. And you know, every time I share the story with some friends, they don't believe it. He stands on the tunnel and he calls out. He's like, "Echo amapuma mina ngiyakushiya mfethu asambe ngiyakushiya." Can you imagine a professional footballer doing that? You know,
he must have been angry.
Yeah, and you know, he had to drive alone to Joburg after the match. He phoned one of his guys. We told him that we had won, you know, and he drove back to Polokwane the next morning. Maybe he thought that the team wouldn't win without him, but it was a marvel to watch on his day.
That's true. Someone once told me that Joel Siroba as well, he was a big gambler.
Yeah, Joel Siroba. He liked playing dice. He would withdraw his salary, put the money in an envelope, and then go to Pick and Pay in town and gamble the night away. The next morning, he would come to training in a foul mood, and you just knew that he lost all of his money. But most of the time, he used to win, you know. And he's still doing that gambling.
Okay.
He was very talkative, and whenever he was on the bench, he would suggest to the coach who must be taken out for him.
Then there was Muti and the rituals.
I knew that you were going to ask me about Umuthi Nje. It's something. You know, Umuthi Nje is part and parcel of our culture in football. You know, I don't want to go deeper there, my brother. We used to wake up at night to bath and then go back to bed. We do the Umuthi rituals and then go back to your room. You'd find that there was no water. You had to go to the stadium smelling like that. I think even now teams are still using strong Umuthi to win games. All of that happened at Pirates, by the way. You would find fire in the dressing room. You were made to put your legs over some stuff placed on the floor. Upiritsotetsu went on to play for AmaZulu, and I remember him telling me that the club once took them to some nyanga in the remote parts of KZN. Sure. He said that the nyanga gave them a whiskey a day before the game. They drank and drank with the nyanga up until they had to go back to the hotel. The next day, every one of the players had a massive hangover. Needless to say, they lost 5-0.
Yes.
I fail to understand why Sangoma would give you whiskey to drink and sleep late when you have a match the following day. You know, he told me that the nyanga told them to come back because they did not drink enough, or they didn't even drink the stuff properly.
Maybe he wanted them to drink some more.
Exactly, my brother.
Yeah, okay, thanks, local slacker. I think that's it for the first and second part of our conversation.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Thank you very much for listening to Still In Touch. For more of this episode, as usual, and as always, you can go to sokoladuma.co.za and go to the SL Radio tag to listen to some more. For now, it is goodbye.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.